series of prayer messages on prayer. Children may be dismissed to go to children's church. Let's pray together for the classes. Father, we thank you for the children and teachers this morning. Just be with each and every one. Bless them. Strengthen them, Father. Thank you for their call on their lives. Lord, thank you for filling each and every classroom with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Could turn this down just a little. I'm getting some feedback. Praying pastor was in a church for quite a while and was a praying man. But he also wanted to pick up some little bit of activity on the side, so he started to golf and he got pretty good at it. As a matter of fact, he liked it a lot. And so he felt that one morning he had been dutiful and been praying man and felt like his associate could take care of things. And so he decided he'd and go golfing at a very popular golf course in the area. And so he tee time 9 o'clock and he wasn't going to be able to make church. And so he told his associate that he wasn't feeling so well and to let the church know. And so he got out there and got teed up on the first tee. And so he's being looked at by the father, and the father and some angels are watching the pastor, and he tees off, drives that puppy out, a hole in one. He's shouting and jumping up and down. The angel said, well, God, here's a pastor who's supposed to be in church. He's golfing. And he told people he wasn't feeling well. And here you give him a hole in one. Why'd you do that? He said, who's he going to tell?
Yeah.
This morning we're talking about prayer, and you know, you and I are commanded to pray, and yet sometimes we feel like our prayers are ineffective. Sometimes there's a delay, and sometimes we don't feel like our prayers are important. Because we have this caste system innate in the church, we really don't talk about it, but we think that maybe somebody, because they look better, carry a bigger Bible, have been in the Lord longer, have some kind of a title in front of their name, that God pays attention to their prayer more than he does us. Nothing could be further from the truth. One of the things that connects us with Father is the ability and the right to and the privilege to come before him in prayer. Are you all there this morning?
Yeah.
So we have the gift of prayer. From a human standpoint, our prayers are but a teaspoon of water and an ocean of words. Sometimes we pray and we feel like, God, we're just throwing something out there. But let me let you know that God is attentive to the prayers of his children. Come on, somebody. God's like mom when mom's running the vacuum and the baby's crying and she can hear it. And the father can't hear anything, and the mother, she hears the baby as soon as it starts to whimper. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Father God is interested and wants to command to us the right, the ability, and the privilege to come before him in conversation that activates heaven to move the things on this earth. And in heaven, those words spoken as a petition to God Almighty is like a decree that moves the Father's heart. When we pray, when we activate our words to God and we shut out everything around us and we begin to talk to God, God is A, he's not hard of hearing, and B, he has every intent to answer that prayer. Sometimes the answer is not what we want to hear, but he intends to answer the prayer. Prayer is not twisting God's arm at all. It's not work at all. It's conversation with the one from whom we have to do. We have everything. All the rights and privileges has come from the Father of lights. We barrage sometimes heaven with prayer. But if we do so with faith, we realize that we receive what we ask. It's never God's intent not to answer our prayer. Never. If anybody's ever told you that, they're not telling the truth. Mark chapter 11 this morning. Should have notes that you're following along. Always good to take notes, even if you never look at them again. Come on, someone. I would like it for you to look at, I'd like for you to look back and look at the notes you take, but because you are doing more than one thing, you're remembering what's being said if you write things down. Just a little help for you. For me, I mean, that really helps. If I can hear, visualize, and write, and look at Scripture, I'm remembering things much more than just listening. That's the reason why I hand you notes, not so, you know, it can pile up in your Bible. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So I want to talk about three action words that Jesus uses. The first is to believe. Now, belief cannot be in the passive sense. It must have action behind it. If you believe, you'll pray. Now here's where some of us might get lazy and ask somebody else to pray for us. Don't ask somebody else to do what you should be doing. Will you pray for me? My first question is, when somebody says, will you pray for me? I ask, are you praying? Because if you're not praying, how am I going to? I'm glad to intercede, but if you're not praying, I can't come in agreement with you. Therefore, two or three coming in agreement, it will come to pass if we're just praying and not... Come on, somebody.
That's right.
Believe is pistoio, and it means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing. We have faith in God by implication to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. When we pray, we believe that He hears us. We believe that He hears us. Your trust is not in the veracity of your words, but in Christ who hears and acts upon those words. Sometimes if, and I don't think I'm different than anyone else, sometimes I just gotta cry help. I can't put it into words. I don't know exactly what I'm looking for. I'm just wanting God to help me. God, help me. And He'll bring a scripture to my mind to help me pray. Always good to pray with a Bible handy. Believing is most important when we pray, because if we pray with doubt, we have nothing. We pray with doubt, we have attacks from the enemy. When we pray with doubt, nothing gets done. We don't grow at all. We don't mature at all. We remain children. We have to believe. That belief system has been put into us. God deals to everyone a measure of faith. Say faith with me.
Faith.
If you didn't get here on Wednesday night, the last two Wednesday night, Mick Hoff spoke on faith. You need to hear those messages, because our words get us in trouble. Come on, somebody. We believe. And then the second word is to receive. And to receive means to reach out and take hold of what we know to be His will. It's lambano in the original language. It means to get a hold of. It implies a violent act to seize or remove. And so when we pray, we believe, and then we receive it in Jesus' name. See, it's a violent act of saying, that's mine in Jesus' name. We're not talking about selfish quests. We're talking about something that we need in our lives. If we're going to believe that God supplies, we act upon that belief by receiving it. Living a life of reception. Walking in the promises before they are manifest. It's just exactly like David and Goliath. When David came and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he said to the Philistine, he said to the giant, I'm gonna kill you today and feed you to the birds of the air.
Hallelujah.
And the beasts of the field. You're done. You're dead. What was that? He had already prayed. Somewhere between Saul's tent and the battlefield, David's cry to God was, I believe and I receive this giant into my hands. A lot of things are broken between those two steps. Sometimes we don't have a problem believing, but we have a problem receiving. Either we don't feel like God's interested enough, we don't feel worthy enough. All of that is an enemy of prayer. All of that is in it. Forget about all of that. Of course you deserve it. Or God wouldn't give you access to Him. It would be an act of frustration to get before God. Listen, logically, let's talk logically, okay? It would be ridiculous. God gives us access to Him and we pray and it's frustration. He never answers prayer. He doesn't want to hear our prayer. How many wants to hang around somebody like that? Not me. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Come on. God is interested receiving from His children. All of that's for naught if we don't. The third thing I want to talk about is forgiveness. Living a life of forgiveness will give us a life of favor. Living a life of forgiveness will give us a life of favor. A pure heart before God gives us pure words with God. We don't hold anything against anyone. That's a lot of trouble that we have. We're walking in unforgiveness towards people we don't even know. Our language is spiced with it all the time. We talk against our leaders. We talk against people in Washington. We talk about the guy down the street. We talk about the producer on television. Come on, somebody. We harbor unforgiveness towards ideals and towards things, and then we wonder why our prayers are not being answered the way we want them answered. Jesus said to walk in forgiveness. Look what it says. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, who's anyone? Anyone. Not just our wife, our kids, our dog, our cat, and our neighbor. It's against anyone. We live in a messed up world. We live in this nation where people have become deaf and dumb to the things of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we walk in unforgiveness. It means that we pray for them, that their eyes and ears be open. Come on, somebody. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8. We're praying. And one of the things that activate our prayers is praying in the Spirit. Now, if it didn't cost me anything and I walked outside and I had to be in L.A., you know, I had to go all the way to the West Coast somebody was sitting there with a limousine. I'll take you to L.A. You gotta do is climb in the back. And another limousine says, I'll take you to the airport, put you in a Learjet, and get you to L.A. I mean, no, either way, I'm going to L.A. Follow me. When we pray, God is going to answer our prayer, but when the Spirit begins to take over and we pray in our language, our spirit language, it's like being on a Learjet. We're going to get to the destination, but it's empowered by God. Amen. God empowers our prayers. Watch, in Romans 8:26 it says, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. But we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 3 points I'd like to point out about this scripture. Underline, Spirit also helps. He is called the Helper by Jesus. Jesus said, I'm sending the Helper. Helper means paraclete. Everybody say paraclete. Paraclete's just a fancy name for saying He's just the same exact image as me. Exact person. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, which is me.
Amen.
And it means advocate, one who speaks in our defense. Woo! Come on. I love the fact that I can go before God and pray and know that the Holy Spirit is there as my helper and as my one that's an advocate, and He's on my side. Amen. The Spirit helps. Listen to me, a recognition of weakness is not a lack of faith, but an awareness of our position. I'm not talking about not having faith. I have faith, but I know that I'm weak and He is strong. Come on, somebody. Amen. My only strength is in Christ. My strength is not in me. My strength is not in my education, my good looks. My strength is in Christ, and the Spirit helps me in my weakness. He is an advocate. He's a paraclete. He's a helper. He comes along. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. If you're getting stronger in the area of self-reliance, you're going in the wrong direction. If you're getting strong in the Lord, say, I've been a Christian long enough, man, I'm strong. 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You better hide. You better hide. The longer I walk with God, the weaker I get because my strength is in Him. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, if you take a note, says, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Hallelujah. Remember when I first started to ride motorcycle? I had a little 175 Honda. It was street and trail. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? You know? And man, I'd ride that puppy to school. And one morning, I was chasing a rabbit. Instead of going to school, I saw this rabbit and I figured I'd try to outrun him. And I wasn't paying attention. Went right through a barbed wire fence. Cut myself all up and cut the tires on the bike. And somebody I met was one of my friend's dad, because I couldn't tell my dad. And he said, the day that you think you know how to ride this bike is the day you get rid of it. Come on, somebody. The day that we think we have it all together is a day we better repent. I don't have anything unless God gives it to me. Come on, somebody. Secondly, the Scripture says He helps in our weaknesses, and then it says, for we do not know. Not knowing is a good thing. When we know, we talk and we're open for attack. More Christians call the enemy down on them than we can shake a stick at. Sometimes we just blab, we talk. Listen, by the time you get it out there, there are demons on assignment to hear Christians bellyache. Do not speak that kind of thing out your mouth. We do not know. Prayer in its purest sense is agreement with heaven that already has the victory. When we begin to pray, God tells us what to pray. God speaks through us. The Spirit of God groans through us and begins to just attack that thing or ask for something that God is already intending to give us, but it comes. The wisdom is from above. It's pure. It's peaceable. The reason why people don't spend time in prayer is they don't believe they have the victory in prayer. You have victory in prayer. You have all of heaven's attention. Listen, all of heaven is waiting for you to pray. That's what they're there for. Yeah. Amen. They're not trying to answer prayer up there. We'll get to you when we get things straightened out up here. We're doing a little housekeeping up here. I mean, we got to straighten out. The angels are in bad shape over yonder. We're remodeling the throne room. God is waiting. The Holy Spirit is in you making intercessions. Jesus is interceding before your throne. He's just waiting for you to pray. All Our words are insufficient because they have already concluded the matter. Pockmarked with doubt, unbelief, and finalities that do not exist. We listen to the enemy too often and we say it doesn't do any good to pray. Let's not pray. It's already gotten out of control. It's then that we need to pray. Oh, hallelujah. We do not know, but God does. Thirdly, the Spirit Himself makes intercession. Oh, hallelujah. He stands alone in His ability to move heaven on our behalf. I'm praying, but then it's the Learjet effect. I'm praying, I want an answer, and the Holy Ghost says, listen, let me pray, I'll get the answer for you. And He uses our voice box and He uses us and we begin to pray. We begin to pray in English and then we begin to pray in the Spirit. My question is, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you don't speak in the Spirit, why not? Pray in the Holy Ghost, man. It will favor you. Because we pray in English and we're looking for words and that groaning that you sense down inside, that's the Holy Spirit. If you've never spoken in a spiritual language, if you're praying, you're serious, you start feeling the churning down in your... Don't worry about... People say, well, you know, I won't be able to control it or the devil will speak through me. Come on, you think God is that weak that He's not going to protect you? Amen. You're praying to God?
Yeah.
You're in the presence of the Lord? The enemy's going to speak through you? Come on. This isn't CBS.
Amen.
This is heaven.
Amen.
He designed it that way. And the Holy Spirit prays through us. It says, the Spirit Himself, capital H, God Himself makes intercession. Why in the world does He even bother using us? Because so we can know His power.
Amen.
We can know His power. Oh God. You're all-powerful God. I don't know why He just, you know, it would be much simpler if God would just go ahead and do things. He involves us. His groanings are far more eloquent than our finest words. Man, we can wax eloquent. Oh God, Thou that knowest all things. Oh God, You knowest that I've got to pay us this billest. Lord, meet me and cause money to appear, dear God, in my wallet. Oh, somebody. Just cry out to God, God, help! And you may be praying, somebody's being moved to stop and give you. Richard and Lena Rinker were friends of mine, taught me to pray in the Spirit. But when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I just spoke in tongues right away. I just prayed. But, you know, I was young, and this guy was an older gentleman, not too much older, but older, and had walked with the Lord for a while. And, man, he was always praying. Every time you saw Richard, he was... He wasn't faking it. He was just praying, I mean, just all the time. So he was teaching me to pray and teaching me how to keep a journal. And he had journals in his room, in his living room. He had journals stacked all over the place. He just filled, every time he'd pray, he'd just write. And the journals were all the same. He just bought them by bulk. And they were just piled all over the place. Praying in the Spirit all the time. Sitting in class, we'd sit in class, in college classes, and he'd be taking notes and praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, man, this guy's got it, got something that I want. So I stopped by Richard's house one day. He's praying in the Spirit, packing his bags. His whole house is in boxes. I said, Richard, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to Hawaii. So you're going to Hawaii. You're just in midway through your first semester in college. So God told me to go to Hawaii. I've been praying and God's laid this on my heart. He had a map in his prayer room. And he said, God sent me to Hawaii. My wife's in agreement and we're leaving. I said, this guy's whacked. He didn't have any money. I said, how are you going to get to Hawaii? He sold his car. He had this stuff packed. He says, I got enough money to ship some stuff ahead, but I don't have any money for a ticket. But God told me to go. We're going to the airport. See ya. My wife and I are standing. He's going, the taxi comes. And we're standing, Terry and I. See you in a couple days. Didn't hear from him for like months. Got a letter in the mail. Letter from Richard and Lena. Richard sitting on his big, it's a true story, sitting on his big white couch with beautiful palms behind him and stuff, and this big glass window. And here they had left, went out to Dallas Airport there in Fort Worth, Dallas, and just being shot the cut up. Somebody came by and said, you know, God sent me here to buy you a ticket for wherever you're going. Where are you going? Well, God told us to go to Hawaii. Bought him first class ticket to Hawaii. Him and his wife. Come on now. Got to Hawaii and got off the airport there at the main island and sat in the airport. Some lady came by. I was there for 3 or 4 hours. Some lady came by and said, God sent me here. And I'm supposed to take you, and I own a hotel and I've got a room for you. Hey, come on. Got to the hotel room. Applied for a job as a manager of condominiums. Got the job. Got a furnished apartment. The lady that got him the hotel room gave him a car. Started to go to church. And God sent him out and planted the church. And there they are managing this condominium. Beautiful, furnished, upscale condominium. Because he heard the Lord in prayer. Come on, somebody. I had to do some repenting because I thought, man, that guy ended up in jail somewhere. God is able. God is able. Romans 12. You know, when something occurred to me, when the Holy Ghost is making groanings for me, he and Jesus, who's also interceding before the throne, are in total agreement. I don't know about you, but I want those two people on my side. And if they're praying and they're in agreement and their Father is in agreement with them, now I've got three that are in agreement, and God is going to move all of heaven and all of earth to answer my cry. He's going to do it. The only thing that's going to stop it is my doubt and unbelief. Or unforgiveness. Come on, somebody. Or hidden sin. Selah. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So that steadfastly in the King James, you're reading in the King James, it says instant in prayer. And that's proskartero, and it's to persevere, be constantly diligent, or to attend assiduously all the exercises, or to adhere closely, to attend continually in prayer. Steadfastly. Praying until the answer comes. Praying until we receive the peace. The old timers used to say, we're going to pray through. Prayer sometimes is inconvenient. Come on, somebody. I had planned to watch a movie with the kids. The Holy Ghost moves on me, I got to pray. I got 2 hours before I got to be to work. But the Holy Ghost moves on us to pray. We've got to be steadfast in prayer, praying through to the answer. Everybody knows, knock, seek, and ask. Those are in the continual present tense. That means that we keep knocking, we keep asking. It's not a lack of faith. It's praying through until the answer comes. Or peace, one or the other. We know the answer will come. Prayer is continual. The types of prayer vary, but we are commanded to live a life of prayer. And this continual prayer is immersed in godly character. Look what surrounds continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. If we're people of prayer, we rejoice in hope. It's all going to be okay. No matter what happens, God's going to win.
Amen.
Patient in tribulation. Oh no, wait a minute. That must be a... Yeah, we ought to check with the people that write the Bible, man. It's patient in tribulation. The reason why we're not patient in tribulation is because we ain't praying. Well, you know, I heard this preacher say, well, if you're right with God, you won't have any tribulation. Don't listen to that preacher no more. Just don't do it. Don't get rid of it. Throw the tapes out. Throw the CDs out. Don't listen to it. I don't care how old or how genuine it is. If somebody tells you you're not going to have tribulation, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome.
Amen.
I want to be with the overcomer. But he said I'd have tribulation. Well, if you overcame, why don't you just let me be the overcomer without the tribulation? And God says, in the world you'll have tribulation. If you haven't had tribulation, if your license is due and you've got to go to the license bureau, you will. Just saying. Tribulation is something that we all face. Patience in tribulation. If we're people of prayer, we meet the needs of those around us. There are hurting, needing people. There are people that should be here this morning and should be occupying churches this morning that the only reason they're not here is their needs were not met by the church. And we need to repent as churches. We get so caught up in the vision of the church. The church is us. Look around. Church is us. We take care. If the church took care of its own, we wouldn't have the problem we do now with the system the way it is in this nation. We've asked the government to take care of people we need to take care of. Come on, somebody. And then we complain because the government's taking our money. You're not listening to me. God's just exacting, bringing everything the way it should be, bringing the balance into stuff because we're complaining and giving it the job to the unbeliever, to the unbelieving system where the church should be embracing, receiving, training. If the church were actively involved in, I'm chasing a rabbit, but it's a good rabbit. If the church were actually involved in and actively involved in training people, that things like if you don't work, you don't eat. Come on, somebody. Quiet in here. But if we did the training, if we exacted the things that God asked us to, we wouldn't be complaining against those that have a skewered look of love. Meeting needs. And given to hospitality. That doesn't mean just making my favorite chicken when I come over to your house, like Barbara does. Where's Barbara? She's busy in the back. Whew, she makes good chicken. Given to hospitality. What's that mean? It means that we receive people. But it all surrounds, it's right crunched in the middle of all that thing is continuing steadfastly in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. So 2 points I'd like to touch on is earnestly, which is Gregorio, and it means to keep awake, i.e. watch, be vigilant, and be awake. Be awake and aware of what is around you. Continue earnestly in prayer. It's not just us four and no more. There are needs of people around us. We need to be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying about our community. How many know we have a serious problem in Rochester with drugs? I mean, serious. We ought to be praying. We have a serious problem with promiscuity. We have a serious problem with children hurting themselves. We have a responsibility. After we're done getting praying, get done praying for our shoes, our noses, and our friends, we're praying for our community, continuing earnestly. The spiritual world is more real than the physical one that surrounds us. Somebody says, well, you're not one of those people that see demons behind every bush. No, I see two or three. They are out to kill, to steal, and to destroy, and take everything they can. And the only thing that holds them back and the only thing that will change is the prayers of the saints. So this isn't a prayer. We're not asking God. God, please do. No, we're commanding as authoritative children of God, devil, get your hands off these children. And it's authoritative. See, we're standing in we're standing with all of heaven behind us when we continue earnestly in prayer. We're not asking God, God, if you have time, God, if it is your will, could you move on this city? No, because we're here. We stand and take authority. You've got to go. You've got to pick your weapons and flee. We command you to get your hands off the eyes of the young people. We command you to unplug the ears of our leaders. Amen. That they may hear. See, those things, and actively God gets involved and starts dispatching angels. The Holy Ghost begins to move on people. Yeah. Because we pray. It's not a prayer of begging. It's a prayer of command. Amen. Now we're standing in the presence of God, but we're not going before the throne. We're standing with the throne behind us and the enemy listening and saying, we take authority over you in Jesus' name. It's the only way revival is going to happen, if we take the authority that's been given us. Continuing earnestly. Learn to trust His leading. That sense you have is most likely the Lord's prompting. God will never chastise you for beating up on the enemy. He will never chasten you for going too far with the enemy. You can make the enemy feel bad. It's okay. You could spend a lot of time in warfare prayer. It's okay. God's not going to say, now come on, back off. We need to put the enemy to flight and not stop till he's gone. Amen. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We barrage the gates of hell with the prayers of heaven. Amen. And they come down. I believe with all my heart God wants to bring revival, but he's waiting on His children. If my people, ooh, come on, somebody, it's quiet. Oh God, please, please, God, move on our hearts to be children after Your own likeness, God. Because when God commands, God doesn't ask permission to command. When God commands, He doesn't ask permission from us. He doesn't ask permission from the enemy. When He commands, He commands. And it's His authority. He is the authority. He doesn't say, you know, if it's okay with you, if it doesn't mess up your schedule, He speaks and things change. He spoke and worlds came into existence. Now, couple that with, now God says, I won't do anything without my children being involved. Now, He takes that same authority and power, because we're all waiting for Him. God, I'm just waiting for the day when the heavens split and You come back. God says, before that, man, I want to move through you. That day's coming. Don't worry about that. I got that scheduled on the calendar. It's on the calendar. You don't need to pray for me to come by. I'm coming back. Come on, somebody. Man, He wants to move through you. He wants to carry that same authority through you. You get to be the voice of God in situations. Stop begging God to save your children. Command them to come in Jesus' name. Stop begging God to change the atmosphere. Command it to change in Jesus' name. We have the authority of heaven. If God can do it, and God says He's given us, Jesus didn't say greater things. So we can wear designer jeans and eat at Ruth Chris's steakhouse. He said greater things than we will do, because when we speak, when we pray, we actively, earnestly pray, all of hell is shaking when we begin to speak. Because hell knows that when we pray, things happen. That's why there's so many distractions. Oh man, I feel like preaching. I feel like a preacher today. Come on, somebody. Crying out. Oh man, if we could just activate. God wants to do so many things here at New Life and in Rochester. If we could just actively involve ourselves in that kind of prayer, that sort of authority, God will answer prayer. He wants to more than we want Him to. And He says, be vigilant. Be vigilant. Stay awake. Be aware. Don't ever let your guard down. There's no day off in this faith. God will take a day off. There's no day off. Be vigilant. Be watchful. For your enemy is like a lion roaming the streets, looking who he can devour. That's what the scripture says. Be vigilant. Be worried. Be awake. Understand the times. Understand the seasons. Understand that souls hang in the balance. Understand that nations are shaking because of the lack of these sorts of things.
Amen.
This nation is in the way it is because the church has taken vacation. Church is taking vacation. We don't take anything seriously. We just say, okay, it's supposed, yeah, I mean, you know, God's coming and He'll straighten everything out. While that's so very true, He is coming and He will straighten everything out. He wants to do some straightening right now through you and I. It says, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a sort of prayer. It's called Eucharisto. It's where we get Eucharist. And it means to have an attitude of gratitude. Actively grateful language to God is an act of worship, thankfulness. So when we pray those violent prayers and we command those kind of things, when we're done doing warfare, we turn and we say, thank you, God of heaven, that you embellish my prayers with your spirit, and that they're answered, and I leave them with you. I cast all my care on you, for you care for me. And these things are sealed in your Holy Spirit. We pray now we're beginning to thank God because those things are done. If you prayed them, they're done. I don't feel like they're done. Well, get rid of that feeling then. Everybody okay? It's quiet in here. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Go eat peaches and cream. You need to remember that. Just for your... It's a little funny. Come on. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer. Say all prayer. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Underline everywhere you see all. What do you know all means? You know what it means in the Greek? all. You know what it means in the Hebrew? Are you there?
Yeah.
It means all. All prayer. Praying always. There it is again. The readiness and posture of prayer that makes champions. You want to be a champion in God? Be ready to pray. You want to be a champion in God? Pray always. You want to be a champion in God? Pray without ceasing. This supplication is again, this is a type of prayer. It's called deesis. It's a violent kind of prayer. Praying always. There we go. Being violent. It's okay to get angry and be a Christian. Don't be a little limp-wristed person going, oh, you know, I've got to be. Man, get strong in the Lord. How many know Jesus was a strong, I had a conversation just recently with somebody about that. And I said, you know, when Jesus made the whip of cords, he used them. He hit people. No, Jesus didn't hit people. He was that little guy with the robe and the smile on his face with the halo. He was a man's man. When he drove the money changers out, he did some hurt. He put some hurting on some people. And although God doesn't ask us, although some of us would like it, God doesn't ask us to beat up people. We beat things up in the Spirit by supplication. Praying always with all prayer. Deesis, a violent kind of prayer. How dare you? I mean, we ought to just get angry at some of the things that go on. When I read some of this, it's going, I just get violent in prayer. I just begin to command. That authority comes on me. And it ought to with you. To be watchful. While many claim to be watchmen, not many truly watch. God's called me to be a watchman. Well, what are you watching? Your sphere of influence is powerful and commanding. Again, when you take authority, all of heaven backs you. I've often said it, but if you go down here on 31, you're driving down the road and this little girl comes out in the middle of the road and she's got a badge. She puts her hand up. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to stop. Why? Because she has all the authority of the state of Indiana behind her. Man, when you take authority over things, it's not you. It's not just you. God doesn't send you out there. Go on out there, son. You've been with me long enough. Go try it on your own. We have the authority of heaven. When we speak, heaven answers. Heaven says, I'm behind you. I've supplied all you need. You speak it, and it'll get done. You take the authority with all perseverance. Staying power. God, give us staying power. We get so discouraged sometimes, so easy. Anybody ever notice that about the church, man? We just, come on. I don't know who trained us this way. It's indicative of our culture. The last couple generations. Come on, somebody. We've left it up to the TV preachers. Big name speakers. It's not them. Nobody's going to bring revival to Rochester until we want revival. All outside speakers can do is come in and give us a punch in the arm. You can do it. Come on. You mean if we had, come on, let's raise some money and get old, what's his name in here? When he comes, a revival will come. No, we're already here. God placed us here for a purpose and a reason. Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. You all right? Can I take just a few more minutes of your time? Smile at me if that's okay. Because the playoff game's not till 3. Just saying. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now this is kind of an add-on. This is a good cross-reference to Ephesians 6:18 that we just read. Look what it says. In everything by prayer and supplication. So 3 points I just want to draw your attention to. Because sometimes we read so fast, we get to the good parts. All of it's good. It says, be anxious for nothing. We are to be anxiety free. To be anxious is to be prone to mistakes. If you're anxious, you're going to make a mistake. If you go off half-cocked, you're going to make a mistake. Be anxiety free. One of the things I've learned over the years, I didn't always know this. I don't even know if I know it 100% now. By faith, I do. That when I start getting anxious and all turned up, I stop. And if I don't, my wife will say, just stop. Anybody there? Come on.
Yeah.
When the situation looks like there's no possible way that God can answer this prayer, there's no possible way that this thing can get straightened out, and we start jumping at things or saying things out of our mouth that we don't need to be. All this, here we go again. Don't say that. Every situation is different in God. Come on. It's the same in Him, but it's different. We don't know how it's going to end up. We do know it's going to end up in victory. We don't know the path that God's going to take us. Do not be saying, here we go again. We hear the wrong thing. We do something that's out of desperation. Allowing the enemy to get the upper hand. The enemy never should have the upper hand in our lives. And if he does, we've done something wrong. Heaven's done what they're supposed to do. The devil's done what he's supposed to do. We're the ones that's the person out. Come on, somebody. And what do? We repent. Because that's sin. If we're not doing what God wants us to, how many know that's identified as that three-letter word we don't like to talk about. Now it's mistakes or failures. No, it's sin. It's okay. And by the way, just in case you're listening to some of this new stuff that's going around, when you sin, you're to repent. It's not forgiven when you got saved 30 years ago. When you sin, you repent. Recognize it's a sin. Repent. Release it off of your life and return in your position to Christ. Come on, somebody. Man, that'll free you up right there. Don't allow the enemy to get the upper hand in whatever the case is. I don't care how bad things get. The enemy never should have the upper hand on any Christian, no matter how young, how old, what situation. When he does, stop and repent because you've done something wrong. The enemy hasn't. He did what was right. He has legal authority over your life. He attacks. And if we stand against that attack, he doesn't have any veracity, any power, any strength. But if he does, it's not God that messed up. It's not the enemy that's messed up. Take ownership. God, why are you doing this to me? God, I've been a man, I tithe, I go to church. What's the matter with you? God, why are you letting this happen in my life? No. Get yourself right. And again, it says with thanksgiving, Eucharisto, an attitude of thanksgiving, knowing that your prayer is heard, knowing that your prayer is effective. Just know that you are effective. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man, we'll talk about in a minute, avails a little. Much. Thirdly, requests are to God. Look what it says. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A lot of times, we want a Facebook to know. I got up this morning, my car wouldn't start, and I got $5, and I've got to go to South Bend for a job interview. Get it off of there. Man, get on your knees and ask God. Your prayers are to God, not to people. You can't help me a bit until I've taken it to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Then we get mad because people don't meet our needs. I can't count on you to meet my needs. I have to count on God. If God uses you to help me meet my needs, thank God, but I'm counting on God. My answer to my prayer comes from God, not through you, not to you, from you. It may be through you, but it's not from you. You're not my Savior. You're not my Lord. You're not listening. We become disappointed, and then our relationship is hurt with the Father. Requests are to God. His ear is inclined to you. His answer moves the hearts of men, dispatches angels, and commands favor. He does all that. It may be that He'll move on somebody to pray with you or to help you. But now it's through God, which is much more effective than me trying to twist your arm to help me. Wow. Come on, somebody. It's about a month ago, we had some extra expense, and we're kind of trying to really have a tight budget, and so I had an extra expense of $150. That was a surprise. And so how many of you know that's a big surprise? Yeah. May not be to you, but it is to me, my friend. It's a big surprise. And so I came home, talked with Terry. She'd just gotten home from work, and it was actually $136 and change. So almost $150. So, you know, I said, you know, we just need to believe God to make this up. Trot it out to the mailbox. It's $100 check in the mail. The next day I got $50 from somewhere else. We know God made it up because I took it to the Father. We didn't say it to anybody else. Took it to the Father. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We got to live in that realm.
Yes.
We got to live in that realm. All right. Pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You don't have to turn there. It's three words. Pray without ceasing. Always pray. Now, how do you do that? Here's a different kind of prayers in the Word. Ekomai, which is a prayer we do not realize. A prayer that we do not realize, like Nehemiah. We just interject with God. We pray on the move. Father, help me to find favor. We're going down the road 70 miles an hour and a deer jumps out and we yell, Jesus. How many know that's a prayer?
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, your second one is erato, diligent prayer, not pleading, but a petition. Rich man and Lazarus to Abraham. When the rich man was speaking to Abraham, he was diligently asking him. It's a diligent prayer. Third one is diomeo, and it's intense prayer. Requesting with praise and knowledge of who we are praying to. We're intensely praying and praising. How many have ever gotten to that place in prayer where you're singing and praying at the same time? Paul says, I sing with my understanding, I sing in the Spirit. You begin to have knowledge because you know God's heart is moved by not only prayer, but praise. The next one is something we talked about. Geasis is a prayer of supplication or a violent prayer. That's where we command and all of heaven is behind us. The next one's Antuxus, and it's an intercessory prayer. When we pray for somebody else. When I stand and pray for you, when you ask me or I remember to stand and pray, when I intercede, God activates things through me to you. Through my prayer, because I'm coming in agreement with what's already been prayed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father. Now He's got extra people praying. Somebody mentioned this morning, you know, if somebody asks you, somebody tells you about a problem, we ought to be a church where we get interrupted all the time by prayer. If you walk up and somebody is praying, leave them alone. If two people are together praying, come on, somebody. We need to be a church that doesn't gossip about things and talk about problems, but pray. If somebody says they're having a problem, stop them and say, let's pray right now. Let's take care of the problem right now. Wherever two or three agree is touching any one thing, it'll come to pass. Glory to God.
Amen.
be talking to somebody about it. Just stop them and say, just let's remind each other. Let's be people of prayer because God answers prayer. Intercessory prayer. But we don't want any PLPs now. Parking lot prophecies. Please, just an addendum. If you're going to prophesy over somebody, get two or three people around you so the enemy can't work in lies. I don't care if you got prophet on your name in your mailbox. Get somebody. If you're going to prophesy, come on somebody. Because I want to tell you, if I happen to walk by and I hear you prophesying over somebody, it's just the two of you, I'm going to stop. Just be careful. Eucharisto, again, it's Thanksgiving. And then anisis is a voicing of praise. How many know when we pray and we worship, sometimes people say, let's just get through the worship. But when we're worshiping, it's a form of prayer. Okay, we got to move. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Everywhere. Do not wait until it's convenient. Pray, knowing that God will answer your prayer. There's a special place that you ought to pray. There's an altar in your home that you ought to pray. There's a secret place that you ought to pray. But you can pray anywhere, anytime, for anything. Not in a hateful, impatient, demanding way that is reserved for the enemy. Pray with deference to He who answers and cares for our prayers. Praying everywhere. Praying to God. God, move on my behalf. Move on this behalf. Move on behalf of this country. Move on behalf of my worker. Move on behalf of my co-worker, my employer. Pray everywhere. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere. And ladies, pray. Be people of prayer. Be known as a person of prayer. When people come to talk to you, let them see that they're interrupting prayer time. I'm in an attitude of prayer. Come on, somebody. And lastly, James 5. James 5. No, I'm taking a little bit longer this morning, but somebody told me I ought to get rid of the clock anyway. I don't know. I don't wear a watch anymore, so. James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Underline righteous. And if you've got room, if you don't have room, get a bigger Bible. But under righteous, I want you to write your name. I want you to sign your name there. Because too often we read that and we think, man, I know righteous people. You're righteous. Don't look for somebody else to be righteous. I'm right. Say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
It's not because of you. It's because of Him.
Amen.
That's a mirror that you're looking at. When you read that, the effective, fervent, forever righteous man avails much. Man, you're looking at you. So that faith, the prayer of faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. It means persuasion or credence, moral conviction, especially reliance upon Christ. The prayer of faith. When you come up for prayer and you have myself, my wife, some of the prayer warriors, some elders here that are laying hands on you, the prayer of faith, persuasion, credence, moral conviction will save the sick.
Hallelujah.
Expect to be healed.
Yeah.
Praying with assurance. And the Lord will raise him up. I'm counting on the Lord. It's not my effective prayer. It's my effective prayer, but it's His action. Heaven is going to answer my prayer. I can't answer it.
Amen.
Sometimes we pray the solution, and then after we're done with prayer, we talk the problem. We absolutely negate everything we prayed about. Come on, somebody. We're praying together. God, we have this need. We pray and we lay hands. And then 5 minutes later over coffee, we're talking about the problem. We just negated all the thing. Leave it with God. God's going to answer prayer. Amen. You're not listening. Come on, sometimes we pray. If we believe God answers prayer, let's pray and leave it there. That's why when you go get your car repaired, there's a sign right there and it says for employees only. You can't go back and watch them work on the car. Because we'd have all kinds of suggestions. When it's none of our business, we don't know anyway. I don't know anything about it. Just fix it. But when we pray to God, we want to know what the process is. Wait a minute. What are you doing? I prayed this thing. I haven't seen any angels dispatched yet. What's going on? This is going to be expensive. You mean I'm going to have to pray some more? Come on, we're on the clock here. No, when we pray, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we pray, God's going to answer that prayer. He's got a timing. God's not ever late. He's seldom early. But He's on time. God's going to answer our prayer. The Lord's job to answer the prayer. I've often said, and the more I walk this earth as just a harmless fuzzball, the more I realize that if God don't do it, it won't get done. And so I can't be. I resign every day. I'm serious as I could be. I resign every day from being the Holy Ghost. Because I want to do God's job. I think I can do it better than Him. Come on, somebody. We get all, oh God, I'll go ahead and do it. No, don't do anything until God tells you to. Let the Holy Spirit convict. Let the Holy Spirit lead. Let the Holy Spirit answer prayer. Don't be God the Father, God the Son, and Rick. Then it says, confess your trespasses to one another. Confession is often misunderstood. Not specific instances necessarily. We don't have to tell people all your sordid little sins. Confession is saying, you know what? I'm just a fuzzball like you. We need God. I've fallen too. We don't need to muddy up the waters by telling everybody specifically what we did. Just a thought. General statement that makes one equal with others is fine, or somebody that you have in confidence, like your wife, your husband, good close friend that you can talk to, that you know that they can keep a secret, hold you accountable. Come on, somebody. When we get out there, like I said, on Facebook or some social, or we write somebody an email, you know, I was at this place and I did that and I did this and I did that, and then we get the whole account. Pray for one another. Pray for one another, it says, that you may be healed. So we pray for each other. Healing comes from the Lord. I can pray for you, but I can't heal you. I always kind of giggle when I hear this guy's a faith healer. No, he's not a healer, he's a prayer. It's God that does the healing. Because if I got to count on, remember, how many remember Catherine Coleman? Come on. She'd say, I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit. She'd get weird. It was weird. But man, she was led from the Lord. Come on. You've been waiting for me, haven't you? She'd get weird. But man, she could, she wouldn't do anything unless the Holy Spirit showed up. The Holy Spirit of God activates our prayer. And when we pray in the unction of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prays with us and agrees and prays through us, there's not a demon in hell, there's not a situation on this earth, there's nothing that can stop the veracity and the answer to that prayer. Father, I thank You this morning. God, I've said enough. Lord, we give to You. Lord, You have sanctioned somehow, some way in the halls of heaven, You've sanctioned prayer as an activity that comes from us. God, as we speak and we speak with You, Father, that heaven and earth is moved so that our prayers could be answered. We thank You, God, that our pleading and our crying and our activating our prayers toward You moves Your heart. God, we thank You that compassion is a part of You. Mercy and truth have met together in You. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another in You, Jesus. And so when we come and we ask, when there's wrong being done to us, when there's a need that we have, Father, You are so good to answer our prayers. And then, God, You ask us. God, You have given us the authority to rebuke demons and to speak against sickness. Father, we thank You for both sides of that prayer activating in our lives. We ask Your blessings upon our prayer life. Lord, we recommit to be men and women of prayer in Jesus' name. Preach back to me now. What's God saying to you? Come on.